Are you struggling with neuropathy, that painful numbness in your feet, that squishing feeling, those lightning bolts of pain, perhaps in your ankles and other joints and extremities? Hi, this is Marty Terrell for InnovativeWellness.Center in Clive, Iowa. Christy Steiger, InnovativeWellness.Center. Reach out to Christy and her professional staff if you are struggling with neuropathy like I do. They have turned it around. They haven't reversed it all, but they have attacked it and done it professionally and effectively at a very fair and reasonable price. Avoid the $49 come-on ads in the chiropractic industry. They do not work. And in the end, you'll spend thousands of dollars chasing what is virtually impossible to reverse. Innovative Wellness Center. Elevate your well-being. Give them a call at 515-355-3200. InnovativeWellness.Center. At 515-355-3200.
Welcome. You're listening to Sports Econ 101, the show where we discuss sports topics from a business perspective. I'm your host, Edward Brown, along with my co-hosts, Russell Jackman and Mike McDowd. At each commercial break, we're going to ask a sports trivia question. And in honor of poor Russell, who's got a broken shoulder, which is very painful, we all know, basketball, because we know he loves basketball.
Don't cheer me up.
Russell, did you take a charge? How'd you do that?
You guys have better things to do than find out how I nearly killed myself. So well, I'd rather talk about sports.
Okay, yeah, that'll make you feel a little better. When we get back, Mike McDowd has invited a guest, Ray McKenna, who he'll give an intro to, and then we've got a lot of good questions for Ray. And let's see, we'll also talk about that we're recording the show on Tuesday right after the Lakers game, which was quite exciting. Good old Nuggets are going to look like they're going to do it again. Don't you think? Or anyone ever Boston, maybe? What do you think, guys?
That was my prediction last week.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes. Denver over Boston in the finals.
Okay. I'm going with the Denver Nuggets. Denver Nuggets. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah, until beaten, they're the top team. I don't care. OKC, I mean, whatever. Good for them.
Yeah, exactly. And Boston looks good, but and I think Denver's pretty healthy too, aren't they?
Yeah,
for the most part, yeah.
100%, yeah.
That'll do it. All right. Let's see. There was also something I was going to talk about when we get back to Raptors, Jonte Porter, given a lifetime ban by the NBA for violating the league's gambling rules. But it got worse, and we'll talk about that too. Okay, so stay with us, Sports Econ 101 fans. We're going to be right back. Don't touch that dial. We're going to introduce Ray McKenna when we get back to the show. From the break.
In the ever-evolving realm of real estate, where uncovering exceptional deals presents a challenge, a tailored solution awaits. Picture yourself receiving exclusive off-market real estate deals directly to your inbox each month, an opportunity for any astute investor. Embark on this journey at mortgageinvesting.com and delve into the potential waiting for you with Scottsdale Mortgage Investment's exclusive trade desk. This platform unveils a spectrum of opportunities, providing entry to off-market mortgage notes, including performing loans, non-performing loans, and REOs. What adds to the excitement? This carefully curated selection of deals is refreshed every single month. Ready to enhance your real estate strategy? Take definitive action now. Visit mortgageinvesting.com, enlist in the trade desk, and unveil an assortment of exclusive off-market deals with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments. Seize this opportunity. Navigate to mortgageinvesting.com today and redefine your real estate journey with Scottsdale Mortgage Investments, where exclusive possibilities converge with your investment ambitions. Act promptly and join now.
Attention business owners, how can you attract 22,000 new customers? How can you generate 10% in new sales? By accepting iText dollars for sales in the cashless marketplace, your business can access an exclusive cashless distribution channel, attract new customers, and generate new sales. Barbara Hill says,
iText has been one of the best things I've ever done for my business. It brings me business I would never reach with any other marketing.
It's simply the best cashless marketplace around. iText will change the way you look at money. Members in increase sales, conserve cash, and utilize a new distribution channel by using iText dollars to transact business. iText is the leading marketplace for cashless business transactions across North America. Our members processed more than $300 million in transactions last year. The fact is, iText dollars work. Isn't it time they started working for you? To register, visit itext.com, promo code 408-408, or call 408-504-8400. For more information.
The Elk Cove Inn, voted number one of 77 bed and breakfasts in Mendocino County, invites you to explore one of the most romantic boutique hotels on the Northern California coast. This one-of-a-kind ocean view inn is part bed and breakfast, part homestead and sustainable farm. The Elk Cove Inn goes above and beyond to offer a home away from home experience with unpretentious comfort, complete amenities, beautiful gardens and grounds, breakfast in bed, fine dining experience, and a day spa. Be prepared to relax, unwind, and recharge. Our spectacular ocean view rooms and cottages welcome you with a gift basket, champagne, and delicious breakfast. Enjoy the afternoon with a bonfire, wine, cheese, and games. A favorite for romantic getaways, the Elk Cove Inn is also a popular destination for reunions and business gatherings. Go to ElkCoveInn.com for reservations. That's ElkCoveInn.com.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with Mike McDowell and Russell Jackman. And Mike, why don't you introduce our guest?
Hey, you know, before I introduce the guests, I just want to mention congratulations to Aaron Boone, who's ejected five pitches into the A's game the other night. So good for you. Good for you, Aaron.
Yeah, and they didn't eject the fan, did they?
No. Five pitches and you're gone. Wow. Wow. Well, listen, very special guest today. In fact, I'm going to pick up his book. We want to say hello to a friend of mine. His name is Ray McKenna. He is the author of this book right here, Feeling the Draft. Interesting enough, Ray is from Washington, D.C. He's an attorney. He was actually general counsel and general services administration during the George W. Bush years. He's the founder and president of Catholic Athletes for Christ. That's how Ray and I originally met. Ray has been involved with sports ministry over a number of years. In Virginia, and one of the things that Ray is, Ray has a lovely wife, and one of the beautiful things that Ray also is a proud father of seven children. Wow, Ray, you are a busy man. Welcome to Sports Econ 101, and heard coast to coast around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network, Sports Byline, and the Sirius XM. Ray, so glad to see you. Welcome aboard the show.
Thank you. It's great to be here, Mike.
So, Ray, I was just kind of curious. You're really into baseball, but you didn't have enough kids for a full team. You got a basketball team and a couple of substitutes. Kind of missed that. Okay, that's all right. Go ahead.
Hey, Ray, I guess number one, you know, you wrote this book. By the way, we'll get into it a little bit, but there's a little bit of a San Francisco Giants connection to this book. I mean, there's so many questions. Baseball has so much, there's so much diversity in baseball and elements and this and that. But why did you, what was the impetus for writing this book? Explain the crux of what this book is about. Because it's really about the art of scouting. Am I correct?
That's right. It's about baseball scouting, a very long and honorable profession. And the reason, the genesis, I guess, the motivation for writing it was I've been involved in baseball in one capacity or another for most of my life. And I've gotten to know a great many baseball scouts, a long time. And most baseball scouts are what they call lifers. Baseball is the only job they ever had from about the time they're 17, sometimes to the time they're 90. And I find them, the individuals and the profession, absolutely compelling and fascinating. And I listened to some of their stories and I thought, you know, wouldn't it be great like to just have a book that kind of compiled some of these, that told the story. And many times, like we have a chapter in the book that speaks about the Yankees dynasty and the unsung role of scouts in building that great dynasty back in the days of Garrick and Ruth, all the way to the present. And it's just a wonderful, compelling, I think, interesting story. So that's why I wrote the book, Mike.
It's really fantastic. You know, Ray, I'm trying to find a quote in this book, but I think there's a quote, and you can rephrase it for me, but one of the San Francisco Giants scouts or senior advisor talks about the life of a scout and the importance of making a difference every day in that profession. Talk a little about that quote, because that really kind of struck me, and I like the fact that it came from a San Francisco Giant.
Yeah, and it might have been, I think, I know we interviewed John Barr, who's a great scouted for a number of teams, including the Giants. He was very instrumental in the scouting and signing of Buster Posey. And I think the quote is something to the effect of, you know, a scout, they see multiple games, you know, some usually more than one in a day, and hundreds in a year. But they never know from one moment to the next, you know, when it's going to be somebody like a Buster Posey, who he played at Florida State when he was scouted, is going to be their player. And if they're going to have the opportunity, you know, since our book is about the first 50 years of the major league draft and the MLB was kind of late to the party, so to speak, that their draft, the MLB draft comes after the NBA draft, after the NFL draft. The big change from the pre-draft days to the current days is you can be a scout and you can have a great player that is in your area and nobody knows about him. You're really excited. And the old days, you just like hit him and sign him. But now you have to be fortunate enough to get the opportunity to draft that player. And you also have convinced the decision makers in your organization that he's the right player at the right time to sign.
How often, once you decide on a player, does a scout stay in contact with that player? Is it just kind of like one and done?
It's hard to generalize because it depends on the level of interest and contact that the scout has. So if it's somebody who's high on the draft board, then there's somebody that's going to have an increasing amount of contact. The draft used to be initially in June, and it's now been moved to July by Major League Baseball. So as the draft approaches, there'll be more and more contact. You know, kind of feel out the player, his quote unquote agent, parents, what are they willing to sign for?
But I mean, once they're already like signed, sealed,
once delivered, after they're signed, the scouts can have a lot of contact. It depends on the organization. Each organization is a little bit different. So some may say the scout will continue to kind of walk them through the process till they get to their first professional team. Others will have a very abrupt departure. So the scout signs them. And then other than observing their performance, the scout's not really involved in any real way.
You know, I can imagine the pressure on the scout because, you know, you're it's kind of your name behind the player. Don't let me down. And hopefully the games I saw were really good.
It's a great point.
You know, because how many games generally will once you get an interest in a player, will you watch before making a decision?
There's no set amount. I mean, it depends on kind of where your area is. If you're assigned, usually if an organization has interest in a player, they'll bring others, like they call them cross checkers, who come in, and then the general manager will come in. And so many different eyes, so to speak, within an organization will watch the player. But it all depends. There's a whole calculus of the level of interest, time, availability, things like that, how well known. Yeah. And now, you know, you can watch a lot of players on TV and there's a real diversity of opinion, the value of watching on TV as opposed to at the stadium.
Well, nowadays, too, you also have to do a mental check. I don't think they did that back in Ruth's time, you know?
No.
Right?
Well, there's just I just ran into last week. We're based in Washington, D.C. and work a lot with the Washington Nationals. And the Nationals have, like most teams do, I believe, a psychiatrist, a mental coach on the staff now. And that's, you know, it's would have been unheard of, you know, 20 years ago, let alone back in the day.
Is Mike Shapiro still with, or did he go? I think he went to the Baltimore Orioles. He's in the I think he's in the legal department. He was with the Nationals mm-hmm. some years back. I don't know if you know.
I don't think he's any longer with the team, but I know the name.
Oh, okay. Because he kind of went uh-huh. back and forth. You know, he lived in our area, and then he went back and forth. Guys, we're going to cut to a break here pretty soon. When we come back, we'll have a lot more questions for Ray McKenna. And Russell, you have to make sure that you jump in after taking care of your shoulder there. I know it's going to be hard to talk with a broken shoulder, but man, a broken shoulder, man, that's just painful even thinking about that.
I don't want to. Right, the more we talk about it, the more I think about it. So I'd rather.
Okay, yeah, let's not talk about it. Sorry about that, my friend. All right. Our first trivia question, we're talking basketball here. Who was the first player to be drafted directly from high school to the NBA?
I know the answer to that. That
one.
Wait, do you know that one, Russ?
Yes.
I know it too.
Oh, you do?
Go ahead, Russ.
Well, we're waiting to talk to the break.
I was going to give you the year, but maybe we'll do that afterward. All right. That's our trivia question, is who was the first player to be drafted directly from high school to the NBA in a certain year? I won't tell you the year yet. All right, stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Do you own an annuity, either fixed rate, indexed, or variable? Are you paying high fees and getting low returns? If so, Annuity General would like you to have this free book to learn the pitfalls and mistakes of buying an annuity. The Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers contains the little-known truths about annuities, like how to help reduce your fees and increase retirement income. And it's free. That's right, free. As a bonus, we'll also throw in a free annuity rate report just for calling. We researched over 1,000 annuities and summarized rates and benefits from financially strong insurers. You get Annuity Do's and Don'ts for Baby Boomers and the Annuity Rate Report, both absolutely free for calling Annuity General today. Hurry, supplies are limited. Call now.
800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. 800-760-1845. That's 800-760-1845.
How is your car payment treating you? What if I told you you could make a free phone call right now and reduce your car payment by as much as $83 a month? Look at your car payment closely. You could be paying as high as 20% interest. Rate Genius can help you reduce your car payments by reducing your interest rate to as low as 2.48% APR. We can refinance most existing car loans or leased cars, new or used, and save you money every month. Put more money back in your pocket. The call is free to find out how low we can lower your car payment. 5 minutes of your time right now could save you hundreds of dollars a year. Call Rate Genius now.
800-811-7913. 800-811-7913. 800-811-7913. That's 800-811-7913.
Not all applicants qualify for a loan or rate savings. Actual offer terms, including APR, are determined at the time of your application based on creditworthiness, value of the vehicle, loan term, and other factors.
One out of two Americans thinks their life is worthy of a book. Here's another startling stat. You may be one of the 15% of people who bothered to start your book and one of the 6% that got halfway through it, but your gem of an idea likely died. Or did it? Some published authors are making significant money, so join the ranks of the successful people that finish their books with help from Dorrance Publishing. Call right now, and our experienced editors and writers will explain to you what it's going to take to get your book completely written, published, and then taken to market to sell it. It's a free consultation, so call right now. Find out how much time and money it takes to finally get that book idea of yours published. Make your dreams happen. Call Dorrance Publishing right now.
800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. 800-485-6003. That's 800-485-6003.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. One more time, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mike McDowell, Russell Jackman, and our special guest, Ray McKenna. Our first trivia question on basketball: who was the first player to be drafted directly from high school to the NBA in 19... Mike McDowell, what's the answer?
I feel bad. I know Russell has this. Hey, Russell, just... I'm not going to say a name. does his initial... Does his nickname BBM?
No, I don't think so.
I don't know.
I don't think so.
Russell, you want to say it?
Russell, who is
Moses Malone?
Moses Malone? No.
I want to say it's Big Bob McAdoo.
No.
It isn't?
It isn't. No. In fact, I thought it was Sean Kemp, but it was none of those. Okay, who was the guy known for breaking rims before the breakaway rim? You know, off the backboard.
What was
Ray? You know the answer?
Daryl Dawkins
was the first player to be drafted directly from high school to the NBA in 1975.
Okay, wow. I thought it was Moses Malone.
I thought it was Bob McAdoo.
Well, there we go. So,
All right. What do I know?
All right. Mike, you want to reintroduce our guest to the audience?
You better believe it. Yeah, well, our distinguished guest today is the one and only, a friend of mine by the name of Ray McKenna. He is the author of this fantastic book called Feeling the Draft. And Ray, so glad you could come aboard. Ray, you know, one of the things about baseball scouts is really they are the unsung heroes. You know, without them, teams don't operate. Obviously, we have all this technology today. Are scouts becoming almost a dying breed because of this? I'm going to say this stinking technology. I mean, you know, for example, Bob Melvin, the Giants manager, you know, he's more of a baseball instinctive guy, whereas the previous manager was more like sabermetrics, et cetera, et cetera.
Sadly, yes. There are fewer and fewer scouts employed by most teams. Now, there's exceptions. But I'd say pretty much going back, and this is a while now, to the days of Billy Beane and the Oakland A's and Moneyball, immortalized by the Michael Lewis book, the same title. There have been some scouts, some teams have de-emphasized scouting. Some teams have almost eliminated scouts. Now, other teams still rely on scouts as much or more than ever, but there are fewer scouts employed, no doubt, than there were, you know, in each and every year. It's a smaller number.
You know, I'm just kind of mentally doing a gymnastics right now where I'm thinking, and I'm totally guessing now, that it seems like baseball to me would be the hardest of, you know, the three major sports, baseball, football, and basketball, to be a scout. Now, again, if you've never been a scout in only one, maybe that's not, you know, it's hard to say, but I'm just trying to mentally think about, you know, because it's, I don't know, it's like when you're, you know, obviously when you're scouting a quarterback, you know, that's one way, you know, but if you're scouting, you know, a third baseman, you know, I mean, okay, how many times does the ball get hit to him, you know, and then you got to look at his batting average, you know, because it's both offense and defense. What do you guys think? You think it's the hardest of all of them? Gentlemen?
Anyone? Definitely think so, Edward. I think that, you know, by a factor of, I don't know, 10 maybe, it's very difficult. Okay. Because, I mean, you know, you have a bigger pool, by and large, to speak. I mean, you know, in terms of the teams that are out there that you're looking, beating the bushes, and there's a lot that goes into it. So many games, and then the volume of the games, you know, you get more opportunity, but then you have to all the more complications that come with that opportunity.
Sure. Can I ask you a question? I noticed one of the questions we were going to ask you here, which sounds kind of fun. Can you recount the Yogi Bearism retold to you by legendary scout Ron Rizzi?
Yeah, it really is. And I don't know about you gentlemen, but You know, I thought I'd heard every yogiism there ever was multiple times. And then my good friend Ron Rizzi, who's a legend in and of himself, he's another baseball lifer. He's been in baseball for about 60 years. He's a close advisor to the general manager of the San Diego Padres right now. And he knew Yogi. There's a picture with Ron and Yogi in the book. And he tells a story where when Yogi was playing, the New York Daily News was the major sports organ, and they had a legendary writer. You may have heard of him. He's passed away many years ago, named Dick Young. And Dick Young walked into the clubhouse, and Yogi had a copy of the box score from his newspaper. And he said, Dick, I need to speak with you. I've got a problem here. He says, yesterday, I went 5 for 5, and in the paper it says 4 for 5. And so Dick says, Yogi, calm down. It's just a typographical error. And Yogi looks at him and says, no, it wasn't a typographical error. I swear it was a clean hit. It was a clean hit.
Yeah. there was a great documentary on him that I just saw a couple of months ago. It was awesome. There were a couple of other yogiisms that you got to figure he was probably really smart, and he was very quick-witted. Yeah.
And if you don't mind my just adding something, a great story about Yogi that if it's a documentary his granddaughter produced that I don't think many people know. You know, he was a World War II hero. He was in a landing in Normandy, and he had earned the Purple Heart. But he didn't want to receive it. He asked that he not receive it because he didn't want to worry his mother that he was injured.
Yeah, I heard that. Yeah. It's so funny. Joe Garagiola, his good friend, grew up best friends with him, right? And they interviewed Joe and said, he was talking about Yogi. He says, yeah, it's kind of strange because he says, you know, when you make it to the majors, you know, you think, yeah, you know, you're the best guy and you're in your state or whatever. He goes, I wasn't even the best player on my street. It's like,
Yogi. We got time for a good question. Hey, you know, real quick, Ray, one of the things that the scouts have to do, they're much like a ball player. They have to produce. If they don't find players, they're on their tail. One of the things, I mean, they find kids when they're young. I think one of the things that I read in your book a little bit that I thought caught my attention, because again, the show's based out of the San Francisco area. Tim Lincecum was discovered essentially, I think, in junior high school. Is that right? Mm-hmm. Talk about his story. And also a quick anecdote on Mike Piazza, even though he was a Dodger. His story is remarkable. But hit Lincecum first.
I think it's Greg Smith, who also was a major league player and then became a scout. Was scouting the Pacific Northwest, and he came upon young and I know Tim Lincecum was always smallish, but a much smaller Tim Lincecum than we saw in the major leagues. And he knew that he had something, some scouts refer to as a flash, something special. And then he came upon him 2 years later, and he had grown. And he realized that he was somebody he wanted to, quote, turn in, that's a scouting phrase, to somebody that he wanted his team to draft. And the Lincecum just came out, and was spectacular. He had a short but a meteoric rise. I think if his career, if he had been healthy enough to last a few more years, he would have been a surefire candidate for the Hall of Fame. I think as it was, he won a couple of Cy Young Awards. And that was always one of the questions for scouts, you know, which is perfect. What we're talking about here is would somebody of his, he had an unusual delivery, what they call bad mechanics, and some short stature, would that project or would he become injured? And eventually he became injured. So that was the big scouting debate about Tim Lincecum. And you asked, I think, about Mike Piazza also.
Yeah, it's just fascinating.
The most, I believe, amazing draft story ever. I mean, first of all, now the draft keeps being reduced in rounds. I think it's only 10 rounds now or 15 rounds. But back in the day, they'd go as many as 100 rounds. And nobody was ever really chosen, you know, of any import after top, you know, 20, 30 rounds. But in the 62nd round, as a quote unquote favor to his family and to Tommy Lasorda, then manager, the Dodgers drafted Mike Piazza, who nobody thought was going to be a major league ball player. And his rise, they even invited him out. We tell the story in the book, and he was invited out, and two legendary scouts, Gib Baudet and Bobby Darwin, were watching him. And the general manager said, "We just want to observe him." And Piazza hit nothing but line drive and home run after home run. And they thought it was amazing, the best performance they'd ever seen, in batting practice. But still, the GM was reluctant to sign the 62nd draft pick. And it took the direct involvement of Tommy Lasorda to ask that he be signed, that they even signed him kind of as an afterthought. And of course, you know, we know he went on to become a Hall of Fame player, one of the greatest catchers in the history of baseball.
Yeah, he was a great San Francisco Giant, wasn't he?
Excuse me?
he was a great San Francisco Giant, wasn't he? It's a joke.
Joker. Okay. Hey, the guys, we're going to cut to our, that was a good story. I like that. We're going to cut to our second commercial break on basketball. Which NBA player is known as the Big Fundamental?
Go get him, Russell.
I'm not going to give you the team. Just yet. I want to see if you guys know, because I'd never heard that this name for him. Which NBA player was known as the Big Fundamental? All right. That's our trivia question. When we come back, we'll continue on with Ray McKenna. I'm sure he's got some more fun stories to talk about scouting in baseball. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Are you aware of the 30% federal tax credit available now when you purchase a Tesla Powerwall in California? Act now, and you'll not only receive a 30% federal tax credit on your Tesla Powerwall, you'll also reduce your electric bill. Want a free estimate? Want to claim a $100 off voucher for your Tesla Powerwall installation? It's easy. Just call Tesla Powerwall certified installer Integrity Electric and mention the name of our friend, Edward Brown. Call Integrity Electric at 415-499-8844. Once again, 415-499-8844. Since 1993, award-winning Marin County-based Integrity Electric has been recognized as a leader and trusted expert in their field. Our web address? IntegrityElectric.net. That's IntegrityElectric.net. Integrity Electric. .net.
The Diversified Mortgage Expo is one of the top note investing conferences of the year. Held in person in Nashville, Tennessee, May 31st to June 1st, this conference will help note investors, service providers, note creators, sellers, private lenders, and industry experts network, learn, and expand their business. Join hundreds of investors, institutional sellers, industry experts, private lenders, and service providers at one of the top industry events of the year. Go to diversifiedmortgageexpo.com for details and to register.
Palio Restaurant's been the premier Italian restaurant serving downtown San Francisco since 1990. Palio features fine Italian fare and a Wine Spectator award-winning wine list, so there's no surprise it's been voted best Italian restaurant in the SF Weekly this year. Palio has consistently been voted one of the best restaurants in San Francisco by San Francisco locals. Palio's been in business for over 30 years and recently went through a complete remodel. Our guests can expect to receive the same excellence in food and service that has sustained us for over 30 years in a brand new and more modern space. Our 250-plus seat restaurant includes seating in four distinct spaces, making social distancing while dining easy in our establishment. All precautions are taken by staff to ensure a safe dining experience. Open Monday through Saturdays. Reservations are recommended. Visit paliosf.com to view our menus and make a reservation today.
Celebrate with us. Enjoy exceptional Broadway performers and world-class wine under the starlit Sonoma sky. From theater favorites to the treasured American songbook and today's popular hits. Transcendence Theater Company presents Broadway in Sonoma. In the magical field of dreams, steps from Sonoma Plaza, this June through September. Get your tickets today at bestnightever.org.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. I'm Edward Brown, along with Mike McDowell, Russell Jackman, our special guest, Ray McKenna. All right, our second trivia question was on the NBA. Which NBA player is known as the Big Fundamental? Anyone? I'll give you the, if you don't know the answer, I'll give you the team. All right. No, you don't. I hear cricket. So the San Antonio Spurs.
Tim Duncan?
Yeah, Tim Duncan. Had anyone ever heard that?
I had heard it before. I forgot. I had forgotten who it was, what was in reference to. But when you think about someone that knows the fundamentals of basketball, I don't think there is anyone that's more essential than a guy like Tim Duncan. He had every skill you could have.
Yeah.
Hey, Russell. Hey, guys, can we? In 5 seconds, I got to see Tim Duncan, Wake Forest, play Cal at the Oakland Coliseum years ago when those two were in college. What a treat that was.
Oh, yeah. Let's see here. Tell us, Ray, baseball scout, tell us, you're still scouting, aren't you?
I'm not a scout. I wrote the book about scouting, but I'm not a scout myself.
Gotcha. By the way, okay, what does a good scout make nowadays?
I know there are various levels of scouting. There's professional scouts. There's amateur scouts. There's something called bird dog scouts, which are just kind of people doing it, you know, as a part-time endeavor. I don't know exactly what it is, but I can tell you they're grossly underpaid. And, you know, a lot of scouts, a lot of good scouts, you know, make like, you know, some $60,000, maybe $80,000 at the higher
end. Yeah, but they get a lot of frequent flyer miles.
Or a lot of driving. There's a great story about a scout because they get reimbursed, you know, for the mileage. And one scout had turned in about three times the amount of miles, hundreds of thousands of miles that he possibly could have gone. And his executive GM was questioning his expenses, and he's trying to explain that he had an extremely long driveway when he went home that added extra mileage to it.
That's good. I like that. So let's see here. Tell us about the so-called diamonds in the rough and can't miss prospects.
You know, diamonds in the rough, we just discussed one of them, probably the greatest of them, which is Mike Piazza. And we have a chapter on that. And other players who really weren't, you know, that highly thought of. Like another one is the retired left-hander for the Chicago White Sox, Mark Burley, who wasn't very well regarded in the scouting community because he was a soft tosser. And he had a good major league career, All-Stars. But, you know, he kind of came out of nowhere. And then there's a second baseman. He wasn't a star, but he had a good 10, 12-year career, Frank Menachino. Was a second baseman. He played for the White Sox and the Oakland A's. And it's a great story. Another very late round choice. I think it's 57 round, maybe something like that. He was drafted by the White Sox after they had drafted the general manager's daughter. The general manager, I think, was Ron Shuler. And his daughter played softball when it was kind of back then uncommon to even have women's softball. And she was drafted like two rounds ahead of Frank. And I got to know Frank, and he was mercilessly kidded by his teammates that he was drafted two rounds after the GM's daughter. But he just used it as motivation, you know, and most of the people that kidded him never made the major leagues. And as I said, he played for a good long time.
Very good. And why don't you tell us about some of the cutthroat competition in the old day of scouting prior to the MLB?
Well, it's very different back in the day before the draft because many scouts tried to identify players from, you know, very remote rural areas. And then once they identified them, to hide them so other scouts didn't find them. My favorite story, it's in the book, is there was a scout, Chuck Coney was his name, with the Red Sox. He had played baseball. This is going back almost 100 years. And he had injured himself and he had a artificial prosthetic leg, and he was bunking up with another scout. And in the morning, he took his leg off each night before he went to bed. The scout stole his artificial leg and put it in his trunk, so he couldn't get out to see the player and sign the player. So he beat him to it. So then that's probably the most fishy example. There's another one. There was a legendary scout for the Cincinnati Reds, and he used to, in a briefcase, carry around his set of x-rays. And whenever another scout was getting close to a player who he wanted, he would say, "He looks good. What do you think of that boy?" And they'd say, "Yeah, I really like him." He'd say, "Too bad about that back." And they'd look at him, and he'd pull out the x-ray, and he'd say, "Have you not seen the x-rays about his back?" Because Chris wasn't, but was, you know, some bogus x-rays. But, you know, things like that, they're just amazing stories of the level of competition to try to get, I was going to say a leg up, but that would have been a bad run, yeah. I think, to get ahead of the other scouts.
Right. Hey, listen, Ray McKenna is our distinguished guest this morning, wrote the book, Feeling the Draft. Ray, a scout will go to many games throughout a year, but when do they, I guess it's like in any other business, music, for example, but when does a scout go, "This is it. This is the guy. I know he's a bonus baby. He's going to the bigs. He's our guy." When, I mean, does that happen? And then what about the disappointment when that player that he says he's it fails?
It's a great question. I mean, there's many different experiences. Some scouts will have an intuitive feeling. We call it, that's why the title of the book, Feeling a Draft, because, you know, they call it a gut feeling. Gut feeling, I'm sure you're very familiar with analytics and what an important part analytics has become in all sports, baseball especially. And the analytics community would make fun of this idea of having a feeling that you have like some instinct about a player, because it's not subject to being analyzed by statistics and analytics. But scouts will tell you that their feelings probably aren't just, "Hey, I have a feeling I woke up today," but it's the result of their 50, 60 years of looking at baseball and say, "This guy has something special." And you may get that the first time you see somebody, Mike, or it might be the 10th time. So it really depends on the player and the instance.
My dad told me a story that I don't remember the guy's name, but it probably was in the 1940s. There was a player, and what they would say about this guy was he couldn't run, hit, or steal, but he could beat you. Yeah. You know, there's just something about this guy. It kind of reminds me of Moneyball, and when we talk about Scott Hatterberg, he gets on base, you know? That's how he wins for you. Wow. Good. Can we go ahead?
No, I just want to make sure the show is done, that Ray plugs his book and lets people know where he can get this thing.
Well, thanks, Mike. It's available on Amazon.com, or if you just put the name in a Google search, you'll find ways, if you want to purchase a copy, how you can get it.
Yeah, how many pages is that? It looks pretty thick.
Let me see. Exactly. In the hardcover version? I think you have the hardcover version, right, Mike?
I got the...
I got the thought.
Well, let's see. Jeez, there's a lot.
You can't count the bibliographies or the index.
It's 373 pages.
373 pages.
Well, we do it for each year, the first 50 years each. There's a segment on all 50. It started in 1965. So for 50 years, starting in 1965, about that year's draft.
Ah. Okay, very good. Yeah, I remember my dad telling me when Johnny Bench came up, and I think it was 1968, he was telling me, just sort of like a Buster Posey, he goes, "You watch this young kid. He is really good." Yeah. And sort of thing, like his Hall of Fame career. Yeah. Hey, guys, we have a few minutes here. I want to ask you about this. So the Raptors, Jonte Porter, given a lifetime ban by the NBA for violating the league's gambling rules. But worse, the NBA investigated, found that Porter purposely limited his participation in the Raptors' March 20th game against the Sacramento Kings, specifically to influence the outcome of one or more bets on his performance. Against the Nets, Porter claimed he felt ill after playing just 3 minutes. Now, it's one thing for him to just kind of like step back because he can't control what everyone else is doing. But when he's on the court, though, the NBA also found that prior to the game, Porter disclosed confidential information about his health status to an individual he knew to be an NBA bettor. A different individual associated with Porter also bet that Porter would underperform on March 20th as part of an $80,000 parlay he placed with an online sports bet. So that's something where it's directly, it's like, yeah, this guy is not going to perform very well, you know, by whatever metrics.
May he be haunted by the ghost of Jack Malinas forevermore.
I remind everybody about Jack Malinas.
Jack Malinas was my father's fraternity brother and also the first guy to get busted for gambling in the NBA and was removed from the All-Star game because they discovered his point shaving stuff. They'd done both at Columbia when he was at Columbia and also with the NBA. And also, I think he was the last player ever to be drafted by the NBA from Columbia University. I can't think of another Columbia University. Oh, wow. Columbia has one of the worst basketball teams in college history. So I don't know. There was
But for baseball though, didn't Lou Gehrig come from Columbia?
Yeah. Right. Basketball, they were always known as one of the worst basketball teams on the entire East Coast. And
well, don't you remember in the, I think it was in the 80s, there was a scandal on point shaving in college basketball, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was, I think Boston, it was in college.
Yeah, man, that gets. I mean, you do something like that. That kind of goes beyond all.
This is why I don't support sports gambling. I voted against the California initiative to make it legal, and I mean now we have two big stories, both Otani, you know, showing Otani and his gambling stuff, and they found out that he now owes. He gave out $16 million. To organize to the illegal gambling company, the offshore gambling site that, you know, this guy, his translator, may have stolen it, but I mean $16.5 million, and he says he didn't know it was gone missing. That still I find highly suspicious.
Yeah, that is.
I mean, what do you guys think about the Otani thing?
Yeah, I'm feeling the same way. It's kind of hard. I mean, I don't care if you make $100 million, $200 million a year, whatever. You're going to notice $16 million somehow. And Otani doesn't seem like he's stupid. I think, you know, somehow it was a wink, wink, nod, nod. Mike, you're shaking your head. What do you think?
I mean, it's a simple deduction. You don't say. I mean, come on. Let's keep it simple. Ray, what do you think?
I don't know about, I mean, I heard his press conference and I thought he sounded credible in his denial of knowing about it, and I think he trusted his interpreter. So I don't want to venture a guess because I really don't know. But I have a question. I wanted to ask the three of you a question. I don't know much about. I don't gamble, but I understand that now in sports gambling, you're allowed to have all these what I call sub bets. I don't think that's the right term, but you can bet like on the outcome of a pitch. Or, you know,
You can bet on anything. There was a time in football you could bet on the coin toss,
right? And now,
in fact, you still may be able to.
This is about my question to pose. I heard the former head coach of Notre Dame, Charlie Weiss, say he used to, you know, script the first 15 plays when he was with the Patriots. And one of the bets is like, what would be the first play in the Super Bowl? Well, I mean, that's a pretty hard thing for, you know, I mean, that people are going to know.
Very good point.
What if they bet on that?
Hey guys. Hold up. We're going to go to our third trivia question here. The NBA, who is the youngest player to ever score 70 points in a single NBA game? That's our trivia question. Stay with us. You're listening to Sports Econ 101. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be back with some closing comments. Again, here's our question. Who is the youngest player to ever score 70 points in a single NBA game? All right. Don't touch that dial. We're going to be right back.
Do you have Medicare and do you use a CPAP machine? This is a national healthcare alert regarding your CPAP supplies. Using a clean CPAP mask and clean supplies is important to staying healthy. The best way to make sure your CPAP equipment is clean is to get new supplies. If you have Medicare, we have great news. Medicare will pay for you to have new clean supplies every 90 days. We'll even do all the paperwork for you to make sure that there's little to no out-of-pocket cost to you. And you don't even have to leave your home. We provide free in-home delivery. So if you're a CPAP user and you have Medicare, staying healthy with new CPAP equipment is easy. Just make this free phone call right now to get started.
Sponsored by Specialty Medical. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. 800-913-9739. That's 800-913-9739.
If you're struggling to keep up with conversations, avoiding restaurants because you can't understand the waiter, if you've got the TV volume way up, then you really need these. These tiny but powerful little hearing aids are the Nano CIC rechargeable, priced at only $297 for a full pair. And no, these are not simply amplifiers. These are ultra high quality, ultra reliable hearing aids, priced thousands less than other hearing aids. They fit right in your ear. Nothing shows on the back of your ear. And at only $297 for a full pair. When you order today, Nano will give you a 45-day money-back guarantee. Order right now and Nano will give you a free portable charging case and even ship them to you for free. Here's the number. Call now.
800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. 800-278-1738. That's 800-278-1738.
How would you like to publish and sell your own audiobook? Great stories deserve great storytelling. Audiobook Network provides professional voice actors and full production services for every author's manuscript. You'll choose from one of our many voice actors. Bring your story to life with audiobooks. Consumers are mobile these days, and having an audiobook helps authors reach a larger customer base, which increases book sales. From narration, production, and editing to distribution, promotion, and sales, Audiobook Network does it all for you. We hold your hand throughout the entire production process. We'll create an audiobook that you can be proud of. It doesn't cost or take as much time as you may think. In fact, for us, it's pretty easy. It's what we do. If you've got a published print book, ebook, or even a manuscript, give Audiobook Network a call right now and get our free audiobook guide. 800-514-0521. 800-514-0521. That's 800-514-0521.
Welcome back to Sports Econ 101. Last time for today, I'm Edward Brown, your host, along with Mike McDowell, Russell Jackman, our special guest, Ray McKenna. Third trivia question on the NBA. Who is the youngest player to ever score 70 points in an NBA in a single game?
I'm going to say Will Chamberlain.
Will Chamberlain, no.
Really? 70? 70?
70 points, yeah. And I'll tell you, he's currently playing.
Currently playing?
Yeah. So this is not one of those... LeBron, no.
Plays the Warriors?
No. Do, 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 do. You ready? Devin Booker.
I wouldn't have come up. Not a couple of years ago.
Not too long ago.
I forgot that he had a 60-pointer earlier this year, I think.
Yeah, but he had 70 points.
But it wasn't on the top of my tongue.
Well, we want to thank our guest, Ray McKenna, who's actually doing Athletes for Christ. We're going to have him back on. He wrote a book, Feeling a Draft. You check it out on Amazon.com. Ray, you're going to come back, and we'll talk more about what you're doing nowadays.
I would love it. Thank you very much.
All right. So here's our thoughts for the day. So someone asked me if I was going to take my doctor's advice about going on a low sodium diet. I said, yeah, I'll take it with a grain of salt. we got you on that one. Okay. And you got to hand it to the pirate Jean Lafitte, which, by the way, I don't know if you know, he actually helped win the War of 1812 by supplying munitions to Andrew Jackson and those guys in exchange for a pardon. But going back a bit, though, so Jean Lafitte, when he saw that the governor was advertising a $500 reward for his capture, Lafitte offered $1,500 for the capture of the governor. That's pretty smart. I like that. All right. Tune in next week to Sports Econ 101. We're going to be discussing sports topics from a business perspective and asking more sports trivia questions. Thanks for listening. On behalf of our team, I'm your host, Edward Brown. We'll see you next week.
Adios.
Go on.